This is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. You're going to find out all the aspects of hiking in our beautiful Pacific Northwest woods.
I'm a country boy with a soft side. My heart wanders up north to the hillside. And I've never met anyone quite as beautiful as you.
Check us out over at CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's right, CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's where you're going to find all the show notes and links right there.
Enigmatic like that of the cosmos, never held your hand.
I want to thank Whiskey Fever for letting me use that awesome track there. That was Tall Grass off their album, Gonna Wake Up This Whole Town. Find them at ReverbNation.com/Whiskey Fever. They're from Cedro Woolley. Go check them out. I'm your host, Rudy Getzik. I put this podcast together to inspire you to get out on the trail. Are you putting in 2-mile hikes, 5-mile hikes? You sitting on the couch? Have you even gone on a backpacking trip yet? I'm going to introduce you to some folks that have done that and a whole lot more. So without further ado, here is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. Before we get this podcast started, I want to invite you over to patreon.com/Cascade Hiker Podcast. I want to also announce that we've got a couple more patrons over there, thanks to Best of the Northwest and Tim Fitzgerald. Thank you so much for becoming a patron of the podcast here and supporting the show. And I just want to let you guys know that I did release a 6-minute podcast. It was an extra little bit from the Three Fingers podcast that I did with Malcolm Bates. And it wasn't released on the original podcast because the quality was pretty low on it. We weren't on the mic. So go over there, patreon.com/Cascade Hiker Podcast. Support the show and check that other podcast out that I released over there, especially just for the patrons. Thanks again to Best of Northwest and Tim Fitzgerald, and of course, George Winters for supporting the show. Next on the Cascade Hiker Podcast, what's your name and where are you from?
Sarah Tiedemann. I'm from Trenton, New Jersey.
Sarah Tiedemann. Okay. Well, hey, I found your book, Traveling with Baggage, A Guide for the Hesitant Hiker. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, you know, growing up, I have a lot of anxiety. And, you know, growing up, I grew up in a city and we didn't really get outside very much. It was very, you know, between four walls kind of, you know, childhood. And as I got older, I really wanted to travel and get outdoors. And I just had a longing to do it. But I was really, really scared about it. Yeah. So, you know, and I kind of forced myself to do it. I found ways to cope. And I figured that there was no way that I could be the only one. You know, everybody's scared of something, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of things about the outdoors that scare, you know, someone, just something, you know. So I figured, why not?
Yeah, that's good. Well, it does certainly have a different angle than most of the outdoor type books I've read. And who is the book for? Is it for somebody like you, or is it for somebody that has somebody like you in their life, or maybe both?
I think it's for both. That was my intention, at least, to kind of, you know, for the people that have a hard time getting outdoors, you know, to give them the extra push they might need to do it and the tools to do it. And also for people that have someone in their lives that might be a little bit scared. You know, my husband is like Mr. Adventure and I'm the scaredy cat. And, you know, I kind of wrote that with that in mind, you know, that there might be somebody out there that it would help.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hopefully my wife will read it. Oh man, I was kind of, I know she doesn't listen to the show, so I can make fun of her every once in a while, but yeah, she definitely does not like the hike. And I, you know, I kind of wonder too, maybe that anxiety you're talking about, I wonder if this book would also just help somebody that just doesn't like the idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would, because, you know, in the book, I tried to explain why I like to do it, because it's kind of like a strange, you know, dichotomy. Like I love to do it, but at the same hand, on the other hand, I'm terrified to do it, you know? So it, you know, there's reasons why it's really, really good, you know, but it's like anything else, you know, you get, you know, you have to push yourself for anything really meaningful, you know, and sometimes that's a little bit scary for people.
Absolutely. Well, one thing that struck me with the book is that it almost, and you know, tell me if I shouldn't be bringing this up, but
okay,
it almost kind of plays out like a book that maybe a group can maybe get a hold of, and you know, maybe there's a group of six people that, and they're all maybe they all haven't been out hiking or just camping in general, and they want to start, and they could almost use this as a tool.
Yeah, you know, and when I was writing, and I was like, okay, you know, I want, you know, people to have the practical knowledge. You know, it's not super in depth, but it's, you know, what you need to know. But I also wanted people to have the know-how to know what to do when you start freaking out about things that aren't necessarily going to happen. You know, I think that, you know, that was my main goal. Like, I wasn't, you know, trying to, you know, make a buck. That's certainly not what I was thinking, and that's not what's happening. But I just really wanted to help people because I found, you know, so much enjoyment and fulfillment in being outdoors, you know, even being scared. And I wanted other people to have that too.
Yeah, I could almost see people coming up with some type of a curriculum to follow this and say, hey, you know, go read the first chapter and then we'll get together and talk about it. Kind of something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have a lecture coming up at one of the county park systems in New Jersey, and I'm hoping to kind of, you know, I want to branch out a little bit and maybe do some talks and stuff and open it up and have a conversation about it, because that's what it's about, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And so since you've written the book, I don't want to get into too many of the stories. The book's not extremely long, which is actually a good thing. Makes it easier for people to read. I think a lot of times people say, oh man, you should read this book. And then they hand you this, you know, telephone book size book. And oh yeah, I'll get to that sometime.
Yeah.
But yours is very easily readable. And I'm kind of wondering, so since you've written the book, how has your outdoor adventures been?
Actually, there haven't been many. My husband has been having some health issues, so that's kind of been put to the back burner. But, you know, in just thinking about it and thinking about the things that I'm going to do in the future, it feels a lot easier in a way, you know, getting that all on paper. Like, it's funny because I wrote this for other people, but, you know, when I think about it, I'm reminding myself, you know, of, you know, what to do when I start getting a little bit agitated or, you know, anxious. But I have high hopes for the future. I don't think I'm going to be as nervous.
Well, that must be tough because, I would assume that, he's been your number one hiking partner.
Oh yeah. Yep. He's the one that pushed me. You know, when I lived in Hawaii, I did a little bit of hiking, you know, I got outdoors more than I had before. But since I met him, he's, you know, we've gone on every hike together, never, you know, apart. So yeah, it's been tough, but you know, he's on the mend, so we'll get there.
Good. Hey, please rate and review the show. I love hearing the feedback. Also, this show is brought to you by Rivertime Brewing Company in Darrington, Washington, where their motto is beer at an appropriate pace. Get $1 off your first pint? Tell them the Cascade Hiker Podcast sent you. That's right, I got you a deal. Go check them out. Darrington, Washington, Rivertime Brewing Company. Also, this episode is brought to you by Hiker Trash. Go to wearehikertrash.com. Check out the hats, the shirts, the stickers, and the tattoos. Hiker Trash is a pretty cool name for hikers, especially in the long-distance hiking world. Hiker Trash just means a community. Hiker Trash know each other. They're friends. They've been through a lot on the trail together. So get a shirt and represent Hiker Trash. WeAreHikerTrash.com. Thanks, sponsors. Back to the show. Well, and it is different. You know, you talk about Hawaii like that, and you know, I'm in the Pacific Northwest. New Jersey, to me, I think of city. I don't think of the mountains. So it's a whole different world, right?
Yeah. You know, and that's a lot of people, you know, feel that way. But I mean, there are cities, you know, and there's a lot of urban sprawl, but, you know, we have beautiful areas. I mean, it's not, you know, the mountains of, you know, the Northwest, but, you know, it's, there's some nice stuff over here. And I mean, the forest here, and I don't know if it's because I grew up here and this is where we've, you know, done most of our hiking, but it's just so comforting. Like I step into the woods and it's like, okay, you know, it's so dense and it's beautiful here. It really is.
Yeah, that's good. Well, and you talked about the county parks, and do they have good trail systems there with the county parks?
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty good. Our favorite place though is up near the Delaware Water Gap, which is a national recreation area. That is really, really good. The county parks are pretty good here though. They, you know, it's nice in a place like this where there's so many people and you know, there is a lot of, you know, urban areas. It's nice. They really take it seriously. So it's cool.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, every county across the country is probably just a little bit different with that. And it's good to find those ones that really center on that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know, I contacted them about, you know, doing the lecture and they were super receptive and very, very helpful. And I don't know, they're great. They really are.
That's good. Is there what other type of outlets are there in the New Jersey area as far as talking about hiking, you know, maybe going to see somebody talk?
You know, I haven't seen any. I mean, there's like the New Jersey New York Trail Conference. I know that they do some stuff. And then there's some classes up north near the Delaware Water Gap. But that's pretty much it. There's not too much of a, you know, outdoor lecture circuit, I guess, here. Because a lot of people don't, you know, care for it here, you know.
Yeah, it's a whole different, like I said earlier, it's a whole different world.
Yeah, it really is.
But you guys have been over this way, right? To like California or?
Yeah. We've spent quite a bit of time in California. My husband has family and friends there. So we've been out there a few times. But that's it, like as far as, you know, west. You know, is California. And, you know, we've been to Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, you know, but that's, you know, pretty much it. Nothing in, you know, further north, you know, northwest.
Well, it's all relative though. I mean, you get in the, when you see those big mountains, that's really what it's all about. I just think that everybody should be able to see them at least, but you've experienced more than that. So let's go back to the book here. So how can people find the book?
The easiest place would be Amazon. It's on barnesandnoble.com too. But the easiest place would be Amazon. You just type in my name or, you know, the book title, but my name's a little bit shorter. So
yeah, that's true. Tell me about the New Boot Goofin' Books. What is that?
Well, in, you know, this book is self-published. So in order to have a little bit more, freedom in where I sell it, it looks better to stores if you have your own imprint. And in order to have your own imprint, you need your own publishing company. So I created the company and, you know, I'm registered with New Jersey and I'm a, you know, taxpayer. So that's pretty much where that, you know, it was a lot of back and forth trying to figure out what to do. Self-publishing is a little, you know, funky sometimes. So I figured that was my best bet.
Well, I really like the logo a lot. It's pretty cool. It's inspiring. It's, you know, the backpacker with the book in hand, the mountains and trees all around. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, my brother-in-law actually created the logo for me, which is awesome. He's talented. my husband and I were, you know, making these awful sketches, you know, to kind of tell him what we wanted. And he turned it into something wonderful. So
nice. And where'd the name come from?
Reno 911. When he's doing his little dance, you know, he's New Boot Goof, and I was like, you know what, that sounds good.
I like that. It is good. So you probably did a lot of research for the book because you cover so much. I mean, somebody could honestly just use this as a guide to just get started.
Yeah. It, you know, I when I first started writing it, I was, you know, more focused on how to deal with yourself and the internal feelings. But, you know, and then I started thinking about it. I was like, you know what? Knowing what to do in and of itself is a huge comfort. So then I, you know, put it into sections and then I started researching and it took a really long time.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that what I thought was correct was actually correct. So I check, you know, a million times before I tell people, you know, I want to make sure the information was accurate.
Well, some of the things you cover, like the natural disasters, I mean, that can change throughout the whole, you know, basically United States, no matter which kind of zone you're in, and so yeah. Or climate or whatever. And so that was good that you covered a lot of different aspects of that.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot of research because, you know, we mostly hike around here, so I, you know, I can speak personally to, you know, the Northeast, but it was a little bit tricky when you get into other territory, for sure.
One of the questions that I've been asked to ask all my guests that I actually really like and appreciate is, have you ever been injured on the trail?
Not seriously. When my husband and I were hiking on the Kalalau Trail in Kauai, I twisted my ankle, but that was pretty much it. Luckily, there's never been, you know, any major issue, thank God.
Yeah, I think that's that's something you cover. I mean, right? I mean, that's one of the fears somebody might have.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my biggest fears, you know, that someone's going to get injured or have a health emergency, and we are very, very far from help. That's major for me, which is why I purchased a personal locator beacon.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I know my wife would really like it if I got one.
Yeah, you know, just having that as, you know, in the back of your head, like, okay, if you know, shit really hits the fan, we're, you know, at least we can send out, you know, a signal and let people know that we're in trouble.
That story that you were just talking about in Hawaii, what that guy said to you, I really, really...
He said, in situations like these, people panic but fail to realize that nothing has changed. Only the goal and your perception has changed.
Yeah, and without trying to give away too much of that story, you know, that must have sunk in pretty good for you.
Yeah, it did. It really, really helped. Because he was right, you know, it was... You know, okay, now we're not trying to get to the campsite. We're trying to get out, and, you know, and that's okay, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Well, and when you meet random people on a trail and they just kind of come at you with some wisdom, when you need, especially when you need it, I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's got to be a huge, huge thing for you.
Yeah, it was really helpful. And I don't know if he'll ever, you know, think about that moment again, but I, you know. Clearly, I thought about it a lot, and I try to remind myself of that when, you know, I start to get anxious on the trail.
Yeah, I could tell it was a big deal for you, and it really stuck out to me when I read it. I did have one question. I know I don't want to get in any debates or anything because I'm actually on your side of this, but I was kind of wondering about your protection. A lot of people say that you need a gun in the woods. You don't mention a gun at all. Was there a reason why you left that out, or is it just because you do personally don't use a gun?
Well, I mean, in national parks, it's okay, you know, but in a lot of the state areas, it's not okay. Especially in New Jersey, that's a big, big no-no. You can't carry at all. So it's not something that I've really thought about too much because I don't have the option. But even if I did, I don't know if I would, you know, with bears, you know, bear spray is the way to go, you know, time and time again. And even with people, if I have that bear spray and I'm spraying it in your face, you know, you're not going to hang around, you know? Yeah. You know, I don't even know if I had the option, if I would, if I was in like, you know, grizzly territory or something like that, then maybe just as a backup, you know, but the research shows, you know, the best line of defense for, you know, bears is the bear spray. So.
Well, and you mentioned that too, with even with cougars, just, you know, having that spray would even help with that probably.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've read, you know, reviews of the spray that I use, and people have used it on any kind of wildlife, you know, and they haven't had like as much research on it, but it's better to have that than not.
And how many of these, because I think that was a chapter for me that really struck out as probably a lot of people's, what you call baggage, which I like, would be a lot of people's baggage, would be the kind of anxiety of the fear of animals and wildlife. And, And when you were kind of putting down all these different types of things like snakes and, you know, the ticks and stuff, and how many of those things had you personally experienced?
I've seen, you know, I've seen black bear, I've seen snakes, I've had Lyme's disease, I've had babesia. As far as like injuries are concerned, aside from the tick-borne illnesses, none, you know, but I've seen them and they act as they're supposed to most of the time, you know. You just can't antagonize. That's, you know, that's pretty much it.
Hey, please rate and review the show. I love hearing the feedback. Also, this show is brought to you by Rivertime Brewing Company in Darrington, Washington, where their motto is beer at an appropriate pace. Get $1 off your first pint. Tell them the Cascade Hiker Podcast sent you. That's right, I got you a deal. Go check them out. Darrington, Washington, Rivertime Brewing Company. Also, this episode is brought to you by Hiker Trash. Go to wearehikertrash.com. Check out the hats, the shirts, the stickers, and the tattoos. Hiker Trash is a pretty cool name for hikers, especially in the long-distance hiking world. Hiker Trash just means a community. Hiker Trash know each other. They're friends. They've been through a lot on the trail together. So get a shirt and represent Hiker Trash. wearehikertrash.com. Thanks, sponsors. Back to the show. Well, it's a different world. I've mentioned this before, but we're talking about different worlds because in New Jersey, but I actually just got my very first ever tick bite this last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's so different, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go just to the regular park, you know, like, you know, your basketball courts and your tennis courts kind of park. And some days I'll come home and I'll pick four or five off of me.
Wow, that's so different. And explain to me a little bit more in depth about the Lyme's disease then.
Okay. Well, in my experience anyway, I don't know, I was feeling kind of sluggish, which isn't, you know, abnormal for me. Sometimes I get tired. but what really, I didn't realize until my knees were destroyed. It was like one day I woke up and my left knee was bothering me. It just felt real tight, like I'd done too many squats or something. And then a couple days later, it was both of them. And then, you know, a week later, I could not get on and off of the toilet without my husband's help. Like, it was really, really bad. So I went to the doctor and they did a bunch of testing and had Lyme disease. And then I think I was taking, it was a month course of antibiotics. I think I was taking it for maybe a week before the knee pain totally went away. It was amazing. It like makes your knees arthritic. Luckily it's reversible, but I mean, I was like a 90-year-old woman. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. Yeah, that's extreme.
Yeah, usually people know beforehand, like you kind of feel like a flu-like illness and there's usually other signs beforehand, but either my body just didn't do that or I didn't notice. And then I just knew when I couldn't get up.
Yeah. And what was the other disease you were talking about?
It's babesia. It's another, you know, it's like a co-infection. After I was treated for Lyme's disease, I was still feeling kind of crappy. My knees were great, but I was just feeling, you know, sluggish and, you know, a lot of, you know, I was just really tired. And had, testing done for co-infections, and it like attacks your, red blood cells. My infectious disease doctor was telling this story. There was this guy in the hospital and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. They thought he had bone cancer. But he went in, it like eats in really severe cases, like eats at your bone marrow. Like it's just horrible. And he went in there, he was diagnosed and he got treatment and he was fine. And he said he didn't think that that was what was causing, you know, my continuing issues, but he had to treat me because I, you know, came up positive. So, oh my God, you should have seen that medicine. It was fluorescent. I had this, you know, plastic white, you know, measuring spoon that I used. It was stained by the time I was done. It was just awful, awful stuff.
Oh. Yeah. Those are just crazy to even think about. I mean, and then you probably didn't even know, like when you got the Lyme's disease or whatever, you probably didn't even know which bug had done it.
Oh God, no! There would be no way.
With that many, you know, you're talking about that many on you.
Yeah, and that's why, like, especially around here, I always wear pants when I hike, because you know it's just better that way. You know, I might be a little bit warm, but it's worth it to not have to. And sometimes they don't want to come out, and the head gets stuck. You know, you try to pull it out, and you can't get the whole thing out. It's a nightmare. So I like to wear pants and, you know, a bandana, keep them out of my hair. And every time we come in from even being around trees, you know, we check ourselves.
Well, and then a lot of people like to hike with their pets too.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have a dog. We have a cat. But, you know, we've been with people with dogs and, you know, they have to give them the once over too.
Yeah. Wow. What a whole different thing. But, you know, yeah. We do have that over here. It's just not on the same level at all.
Yeah.
And so what about, you know, kind of going back a little bit to the natural disaster type stuff, the flash floods, the tornadoes, those are kind of more extreme. But the thunderstorms, I could imagine that would be something that people would really fear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the, you know, the crazy part is that they can come out of nowhere. You know, my husband and I were hiking. It was a pretty nice day up in New Hampshire. And all of a sudden it was just downpours and, you know, thunder and lightning. And we're in the woods. And I'm like, oh, crap. You know, luckily we weren't above tree line. But, you know, you don't want to be outside when it's doing that.
No.
Especially when you're in the mountains, too. You know, it's so unpredictable. You know, you can check the weather and you should, but sometimes things just happen.
Yeah. And you think about that. You think about the rain, the animals, the fact that just being out in the middle of nowhere sometimes. And those are some fears that people have.
Yeah.
And then one thing you covered that I think really could be a fear for almost everyone until they actually do it is, and I took my daughter out for her first backpacking trip this last summer, but just being out there in that tent in the dark.
Yes. It absolutely, even like, I don't know, I'm pretty comfortable with hiking now. It doesn't, you know, bother me too much. But I still can't with the overnights, even car camping, you know, I'll do it, but I'll be up most of the night. Backpacking and, you know, most of the attempt, like it's just hasn't worked out for me. I just can't get comfortable. You know, just the dark and not knowing what's going on and not having a way out. It just really freaks me out.
You know, I can remember my first time ever being in a tent up in the middle of nowhere by myself. And I tell you, you described it almost perfectly because I've heard people say it before, but I like the way you really described it. And you talked about how even just a raccoon could sound like a 200-pound bear or something like that. I can't remember the exact the
word. Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it.
And when you say it that way, when you put the poundage in and the size, and it really puts that picture in your mind. And it's very true. You think you could think everything's out there in the worst way, but typically, like you said, also, I really liked that part. It really reached out to me when you said, you know, I woke up the next morning and the woods were exactly the same.
Yeah. Yep. And my husband, every time we go camping, he knows how I get, and I'll wake him up in the middle of the night. I'm like, what's that? What's that? You know, and I got my bear mace pretty much in my hand the whole night, you know, but he makes it a point. And I think that even if you're alone, you should make it a point to do this yourself. You know, look around while it's still daylight. And, you know, he said they're going to be exactly the same. The only difference is that it's going to be dark. You know, and that's helpful.
Absolutely. Well, if somebody has anxiety or knows somebody that has some baggage they're dealing with wanting to get out on the trails, certainly I'm going to recommend this book. And but how do people get a hold of you?
They can contact me through my website, sarahdtiedemann.com. They can email me at sarahdtiedemann@gmail.com. You know, I'm open. You know, at the end of the book, I even have a little, you know, blurb, you know, letting people know if there's something that I didn't cover, if there's something that they want to talk about more, you know, definitely get in touch, because I know that it's hard And especially if you're with other people that don't share that same fear, it can be isolating, and it's good to talk about it.
Absolutely. And so Amazon's probably the best place to go. Traveling with Baggage, a guide for the hesitant hiker, Sarah D. Tiedemann. Well, thanks for coming on the Cascade Hiker Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, that's the show. Thanks a lot for listening to the Cascade Hiker Podcast. Send me an email, Rudy@CascadeHikerPodcast.com. I love the feedback. Also, hit me up on Facebook. North Cascade Hiker is my Facebook page. Twitter, N_Cascade Hiking on Twitter. And Instagram is North_Cascade_Hiker. So pretty simple to find me on social media there. You can also just leave a comment under the show. So I try to give you plenty of ways to get a hold of me. Do so. I want to hear from you. Thanks again for listening to the Cascade Hiker Podcast. I would leave this world for